Oh, Brad, what have you done now?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Brad Gilmore Show
on demand,
and we have a special Friday treat for you. I'm actually excited about for one of the first times I'm excited to talk to somebody on the show. This man is the co-host of Reality Wrestling on CW39. He is the lead anchor on EFN News, EFNNews.com, and he is the I'm assuming you're the co-host of the upcoming series with Stevie Ray on the Title Match Wrestling Network. Is that called Straight Shooting? No, it's called what?
Well, you know, I don't know if I can really put this out there yet. I'm just kidding. No, it is a brand new series. It will be day. When is this airing, by the
this
way?
This is today.
This is airing today?
Yeah.
Okay, well then here's some breaking news for you. Here's a scoop. So the debut will happen July 4th weekend.
Oh, wow. So next week?
It's coming up, and it will be called Stand Up for Greatness.
Oh.
With Stevie Ray and yours truly as well.
Who, by the way, is Matt Topolsky.
Yes, and so you'll be able to check that out. It will be in both podcast format and video format through the Title Match Wrestling Network, so get ready for it.
I'm
really excited. This is going to be a combination of a wrestling podcast, the Howard Stern Show, and an acid trip. So that's probably the best way I can describe it.
You know, I've gotten some inside scoop on it. You know, and
I have.
I've heard a couple things. I've actually seen a pilot of the show.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Don't worry, it gets worse.
Well, Matt.
Yeah.
I decided on the new show, the new Brad Gilmore show, that we'd bring back an old tradition.
Yeah.
From our Your Opinion Doesn't Matter days.
I think fans of that show thought they would never hear this game again.
I think they thought they would never hear it again because I think fans of that show think we hate each other.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Well, we do, yeah. But we pretend not to. But this is the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now, for those of you listening to this for the first time, Rotten Tomatoes is a website. Most people know about it. They score movies. They give it a 0 to 100% based on critic reviews. What Matt and I are going to do today, we're going to have a given topic. Today's topic is Disney movies. We're going to take turns revealing three movies that we've chosen independently of each other. We will try to guess the score of that movie by Rotten Tomatoes, and we'll take our score minus the real score. The difference is our total of points. The person with the lowest total of points will win the game. I hope that was easy to follow. Probably not.
I played the game with you about 100 times, and I'm confused.
Yeah, yeah. But now, where did we leave off? I think the last time we actually played this game was a Rotten Bowl, right?
Yeah, didn't you win?
I think I won Rotten Bowl. You won the first.
Yeah.
And I think this
or
is
was it reversed? Did you win the first and I won the second? I don't recall.
I'd
like to think that our records overall are pretty close to even.
I think they're pretty even because there was that time where you were on a bad losing streak and then I went on a bad losing streak and then we kind of traded wins.
Yeah.
So I think we're overall tied at this game. Mm-hmm. Today's category is interesting. It's Disney movies. Mm. Now, I've chosen Disney movies because my girlfriend and I have decided to watch Disney movies on VHS, and we've collected them.
Yeah, there are a few in the studio right now. I'm staring at Fantasia, Beauty and the Beast, and Aladdin all on VHS.
Now, which one of those is your favorite?
You know, I'll be honest. I don't recall. I'm sure I have seen it, but I don't recall ever seeing Fantasia.
Oh, it's great.
Beauty and the Beast is decent, but Aladdin had just an awesome soundtrack.
Oh, Aladdin's the best. I think Aladdin's the best Disney movie ever made.
It might be.
Robin Williams as the genie. You got I Can Show You the World.
Yeah.
You have a magic carpet. You've got, you know, there's so many things about that movie that's awesome.
Yeah.
And it had a sweet NES game. SNES game.
What, Aladdin did?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're right.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I would say it's probably a toss-up between that and the Aristocats.
Oh, you're a fan of the Aristocats. That's fair. That's my girlfriend's favorite.
Really?
Yeah, she loves the Aristocats.
Yeah, that's a funny movie.
Now, you're not a cat guy.
I hate cats.
But you like Aristocats.
Yeah,
that's funny. Really strange.
No, anyway.
Hey, before we start the game, can you share a story real quick?
Okay.
Because it makes me laugh. You recently, as of today, you actually booked a boat for July 4th weekend.
Hell yeah. I am the captain now.
You're the captain now, but you had a an interesting experience recently in a boat, right?
No, I wasn't in a boat. I fell in Lake Travis is what happened.
How did you fall in
Lake Travis? I just, for anybody that knows me, they know my regular haunt, my regular getaway is the hill country. Northwest of Austin, I like to get out of this town as much as possible, this town being Houston, for anyone who's not following along. And so I was up there having lunch last Sunday with my girlfriend. And
on Father's Day, right?
Yeah, on Father's Day. And afterwards, we walked down to the lake. And, you know, I decided, I was like, you know, we're on one of these little boat ramps. And I'm like, well, let me lean down here and check the temperature of the water. I figured it was probably warm, but I wanted to see just how warm it was. And the next thing I know, my feet have disappeared from under me, and I fell in the lake. And what happened is, for anybody that has never experienced this before, let this be a cautionary tale to you. There's a lot of algae that builds up on the shore, especially on the concrete where these boat ramps are. And it is like stepping on an oil slick. And so my feet went out from under me. I go into the water. And gentlemen, let me tell you something. The true measure of the strength of your relationship is whether or not you fall in a body of water and your girl goes after you. And that's what mine did. And she almost broke her damn arm and fell in the lake as well. And then I needed to use a rope, basically, to pull myself back to shore. So,
and she had to go to the hospital, right?
Yeah, she had to have her arm x-rayed because we thought she might have broke her damn arm diving into the lake to try and retrieve me from the jaws of Lake Travis. So there you go.
I just thought that's a beautiful story.
And I'll be honest, it wasn't because I was drunk either, because I only had two pina coladas.
And trust me, Matt's not that much of a lightweight.
No, I'm not.
No. Maybe if it was 2 gallons, then maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe then. But so I think I say we start the game. Okay. You know, Lake Travis stories aside, I just like that anecdote. so I guess since it's
Let me ask you this before we move on, and I'm not trying to get you in any trouble, but let's say that you fell into a body of water. Would your girlfriend go after you?
I think she would.
Would she dive in head first and give everything she had to save your life?
She might think before she jumped. Maybe not head first, but she would maybe cannonball in.
Okay.
You know, and then look at it, assess the situation.
Yeah.
She's actually a kind of a very talented swimmer.
Oh, so she is.
I'd feel safe, actually.
Well, good.
Yeah. She can swim.
Good.
Yeah. She's no Michael Phelps, but I don't know any female swimmers that are Olympic athletes.
Well, who is Michael Phelps other than Michael Phelps?
Anyway, okay. Now that we've got that out of the way, let's start the game.
Okay.
I guess since you're the guest on the show, you can pick if you want to receive or do you want to kick off? Do you want to defer?
Oh, man. Well, let me receive so I can see what I'm going to be working with here. So I'll let you give me the first movie.
Okay, this first film came out a year after my father was born.
Oh, my goodness.
November the 12th, 1946.
Okay.
It was a hybrid of animation and live action. It is, without a doubt, the most controversial Disney movie of all time. This movie sparked massive controversy when it came out. This is 1946's Song of the South.
Oh my God. Is this what I'm thinking it is?
This is this film about it's about Uncle Remus.
Okay, yeah.
And Uncle Remus is a slave in the Civil War.
Good God.
And he walks around singing Zippity-Doo-Dah.
Yeah.
And he's with Br'er Rabbit and Br'er Bear and whomever else.
You know, Disney did a... So I'm unfamiliar with the format of this new show. Can I curse on here?
Go ahead.
Okay, fine. Disney did a lot of fucked up things. and this movie was certainly one of them. I can't imagine that this movie would get a good score.
Let me just tell you this, though.
Yeah.
This film not only was controversial, this film actually sparked the idea for the Splash Mountain ride. You know, that, and that's why they sing Zippity Doodah on Splash Mountain. Also, it was awarded the best original song at the Academy Awards for Zippity Doodah.
Wow.
And James Baskett won a special Oscar for his portrayal of Uncle Remus.
Well, you talk about a Joker card here in the deck. I mean, this is certainly it, because this could either, you know, I mean, it's an Academy Award winning film
that's controversial,
or it's the drizzling shits from the critics' standpoint today. I don't know, man. I mean, this is a tough one.
I thought I'd go out of the gate with a hard one.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to say, because of the iconic nature of the film, and because it won some Academy Awards, that it probably got some accolades from the critics on Rotten Tomatoes. So I'm going to go ahead and say that this movie got a 71%.
71%, you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, not bad.
Really?
Not bad. It got a 70. You said 71.
71.
It got a 56.
Okay.
Right, so not bad.
Okay.
That's 15 points for you.
And the reason why I went so high is because it's difficult to find a Disney movie that the critics don't like. I mean,
it is
just
difficult.
It just is. All right. So it was a 56, you said?
Yes.
And
56%.
71.
So that's okay. 15 points.
All right. There you go.
You know, all this time between Yodom has passed, and we're still not any better at math.
No.
Okay. No. What do you got? What's my movie? Let's do this.
Okay. Well, you know, this is an iconic franchise courtesy of Disney. And this was the runner-up to a movie which recently saw a live-action adaptation. This movie came out in 2003, and it is The Jungle Book 2.
What?
The Jungle Book 2, that's right.
So animated?
Yeah, animated.
It came out in 2003?
2003.
The Jungle Book 2.
Yeah.
Mowgli. Did you see the live-action Jungle Book?
I didn't. Did
it's
you?
It's on Netflix.
Did you see it?
Oh, it's phenomenal.
It's good, really?
Oh, it's great.
I don't know how to feel about these live-action movies. Like, for example, the Beauty and the Beast one.
Another good one.
You like that,
I
too?
I saw that one. Oh. I didn't see the Cinderella one.
Okay.
I didn't see that one.
Well, I hope they don't do Aladdin.
They are. They're doing Aladdin.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I'm Will not Smith, a fan of that.
Will Smith is in talks to play the genie.
Let's move right along.
Okay, so Jungle Book 2.
The Jungle Book 2.
Oh, man. 2003. I'm assuming this is straight to video, because I have no theatrical release memory of this.
I can't say for sure, but it sure as hell looks like it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? There's no way the critics thought this was good. The sequels are never good.
Careful now. This is Disney.
It is Disney, though. That is very true. This makes me think I should have thrown the Aladdin sequels in there, like Return of Jafar and the King of Thieves. Okay. I'm going to play it safe in my mind. And this could really... Oh, man, this is awful. I'm going to say 42%.
42%.
Oh, man, I'm going to get murdered. I hate this game. Do you know that?
Well, you're the one that suggested playing it.
I remember it every time we play. I get nervous when I say things. I say 40. What did I say? 42?
You said 42%.
All right. What did it get?
Well, Brad Gilmore, this movie received a 19%.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
So it's not terrible, but 23 points on the board for 23 you.
23 points on the board. Okay. We're within, what, 8 of each other?
I was shocked when I saw that type of score for anything Disney. Because I feel like Disney pays the mafia to coerce and threaten critics sometimes.
All right.
I really do.
Well, let me ask you if they paid off the critics for this one.
Okay.
You know, the guy who is the star of this film has been in several iconic roles.
Mm-hmm.
When you think of The Mask, you think of Ace Ventura, Pet Detective,
mm-hmm.
Bruce Almighty, The Yes Man. A lot of classic movies. Dumb and Dumber. A lot of classic films Jim Carrey was in. My question to you is this. In 2009, did the critics dig Disney's A Christmas Carol, where he played Ebenezer Scrooge?
Well, I saw it, and I didn't dig it.
You didn't like this
one? I thought it was horrible.
I don't think I've ever seen it. Is it live action?
No,
it's... Computer animation?
It's... Yeah, it's...
It's like that
it's
weird
animated
Polar Express kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Not good. Not a good. I don't know what the critics gave it. I'm gonna guess based on what my impressions of it were, but I thought it sucked.
I've never seen it.
I'm gonna say the critics gave it a 25%.
25%, you say? It actually received more generous than you think. It got a 54%.
Oh Jesus!
Which gives
Christ.
You 29 points. Which brings your total.
See, that's exactly what I'm talking about. So again, Disney got a couple of guys in a dark alley somewhere to go threaten these critics to give this thing almost a 60%. Give me a break. That movie was terrible. So what did I get there?
So you got 29 points on that.
Okay.
Added to your 15 brings you to 44 points.
Are you sure?
Yes. I used a calculator. All right, okay. What's your second movie for me?
Okay.
Let's see what we got. I'm excited for this one.
Okay, here you go. Well,
what do we got?
This is a movie that I think doesn't get enough praise for just how good it is. Now, the gentleman that stars in this movie is no longer with us, unfortunately, but he's someone that would constantly bring smiles to the faces of millions of people, especially children. And in this film, he plays Professor Philip Brainard, who is experimenting with new kinds of energy and thinks that his project will save a struggling college that he's working at with his girlfriend. This movie stars Robin Williams, and it is titled Flubber.
God, I watched Flubber maybe a year ago. Is that the other day? This movie is actually, I enjoyed it as a kid. Now, I think this is like, this is based on another Disney movie, right? Like it's based on like The Forgetful Scientist or something.
Oh, The Absent-Minded Professor?
The Absent-Minded Professor.
Yeah.
The Forgetful Scientist.
The Forgetful Scientist, Absent-Minded. You say tomato, I say Absent-Minded Professor.
I remember there's a scene in this movie where he like puts like flubber on his shoes at the basketball game.
Yes.
Or he puts them on the basketball player's shoes.
Yeah.
And they're jumping and flipping and flopping everywhere. Flubber. Was it good? I don't know. You know, the thing about these Disney movies that's hard to determine is like you loved them when you were a kid, when you had real no reference on if a movie was good or bad.
Right.
So they're all good in your mind when you're a kid. Okay, Flubber.
Well, anytime an executive at Disney puts a gun to your head, of course the movie's going to be good. Just look at these reviews.
Oh, man. That should be... You know what? We should add something to this game and the next time we play it where, you know, like Millionaire, you can have a lifeline, but on here you can read one review.
That's not bad.
I like... We're evolving this game as we go ahead. Okay.
By the way, let me point this out, too. So this movie came out in 1997. It made $178 million at the box office.
In 97?
That's a lot of money for 1997.
That's a whole lot of money in 97. Robin Williams on top, man.
Yeah.
He was on top of the world. Okay, Flubber. Flubber. Didn't really appeal to adults, I wouldn't think. I remember he kept forgetting to go to his wedding day. Robin Williams. Flubber. You know what, man? I'm going to play this one down the road because I really don't know. I'm going to say this is barely fresh, barely, by 60%.
60%, you say?
Oh, man, I'm going to get murdered.
Well, let me tell you something.
I got a 95.
This movie was received so well by the critics that it received a 23%.
Oh, whoa, what?
Yes.
Flubber?
They took one look at Flubber and said, get this drizzling shit out of my face now.
It got a 23?
A 23%.
Well, that's 37 points added to my 23 earlier.
Woo!
Gives me 60 to your 44.
Man. That was a good one, Gilmore.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
Let's see if you know about this movie.
Okay.
Okay, this movie, I don't think ever came out in theaters. I don't think. It could have. I bet against it.
Okay.
It's 1993. Its subtitle is The Incredible Journey. It says it was a remake of the 1963 hit, The Incredible Journey, that follows three household pets as they travel across mountains and plains on their way home to find their owners. A misunderstanding leads the animals to be mistakenly believe they have been abandoned by their loved ones.
Wait a minute. Is this Homeward Bound?
Hold on. When in reality, they left in the care of a friend while the family moved from one country to the city. From the country to the city, I'm sorry. For the father to make a temporary assignment. All three pets, a golden retriever, a cat, and a small bulldog puppy played by Michael J. Fox, can talk. This is 1993's Homeward Bound.
Yeah.
The Incredible Journey.
Yes, yes. I love this movie. I used to watch this all the time when I was a kid.
Yes. And then not to forget, there's a sequel, I think, where they get lost in California.
Yes, I'm not sure. I'm not certain if that's the one I'm thinking of, or I think it's the original that I'm thinking of. I used to watch it on the same VHS tape that also had Beverly Hills Cop 3 and this movie with Martin Short. It was called Clifford.
I don't know Clifford. I know Beverly Hills Cop 3.
Movie. Okay, so anyway, Homeward Bound. This is a fun movie.
The Incredible Journey.
This is a good movie. I think it's a movie that both kids and parents alike probably enjoyed. And I think critics probably enjoyed this film as well. I mean, I don't think this is, you know, in the words of Dave Meltzer, a five-star match or anything. But if I was checking the KPI on this, excuse me, I would probably say that this movie received a 80% from the critics.
80%, you say, Matt Topolsky?
Yeah.
Well, that 80%, yes, has just won you the game.
Wow. Why?
88%.
Wow.
8 points off. Matt Topolsky, you finish with a 52% overall, or 52 points overall. I'm at 60. There's no need to go on, but I do want to hear what your third film is.
Okay. Well, first of all, congratulations to me.
Congratulations to you.
Once again, I have asserted my dominance in this game. But my final choice was going to be this little gemstone from 1996, featuring stop-motion animation and live action. This movie, I'm going to tell you, Brad, this movie was a real winner for Walt Disney. It was James and the Giant Peach.
Mm. Now, I did love this movie when I was a kid.
And produced by Tim Burton.
It's very Tim Burton-y, too.
Yeah.
Roald Dahl's classic novel, James and the Giant Peach. I'm going to throw it out there because it really doesn't matter anymore. I'm going to say it got an 84%.
You were close. It got a 93.
Oh, 93.
A 93%.
Okay. That'd been 9 points. So
yeah.
69 to 52.
Yeah. So either way, you got your ass beat.
I did. I did get beat. But it was fun to return.
Yes.
To the Rotten Tomato. I feel like we should do this periodically. Are you down?
Yeah, I'm down.
Now,
I'm
what
down
else
for that?
Now,
as long as people on Twitter don't think we're still feuding or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So you are the winner. So next, you know what? Right now, you're going to call your shot.
Yeah.
Next time, what is it going to be our category?
Ooh. Okay. Here's one that we never did, by the way. Movies about music.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Never done that.
All right.
That.
Movies about music would be the next topic on the Rotten Tomatoes game. I hope y'all enjoyed this edition of the Brad Gilmore Show. Matt, what do you have coming up? Do you, aside from the Stand Up for Greatness with Stevie Ray, where season one's almost finished and shot, right?
That's correct, yeah. We wanted to get a full season shot first. That way, if people are like, man, this is really terrible, we don't want to watch it anymore, you still have to watch the rest of it. So, yeah. I think people are really going to enjoy it. It's something different. We're doing something different than a lot of other people are doing in the wrestling podcast realm right now, which is basically ripping off Bruce Pritchard.
Yeah,
because that's what everybody else is doing now. Which is, you know, fine. I mean, you know, if you you see something that's done really well, you want to replicate it, and that's cool. But we're doing something that's a little bit different. I think people are really going to enjoy because it involves original thinking and, of course, Stevie's creative genius. I mean, I got to say, Stevie Ray has a lot of truly untapped potential when it comes to the amount of entertaining he is able to do. And I am just very, very lucky that I get to work with him on this project, and I think people are going to really enjoy it. Other than that, if you guys want to catch me, you can find me in Lake Travis, because that's where I'll be.
Congratulations, you just saw the 50th episode of EFN News, right?
That's true. That's correct. Yeah, and we if you're interested in that, I mean, it's, you know, for your audience, probably not, because it's very dry, newsy. You know, it's basically Bloomberg for oil and gas. But
are you saying my audience is stupid?
No, I'm just saying they're probably not interested in the price of oil. But, okay, you know, if they are, they can go to energyflownews.com and check it out. Or if you're in Houston, you can catch us on Comcast Channel 75. I also got some cool news last night as well after we finished shooting our 50th episode that we will also be on AT&T UVerse very shortly. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah,
so I could actually watch it.
Yes, you could. So, yeah, that's what I got going on. And other than that, you know, just our reality of wrestling thing. I guess I should plug the fact that August the 12th is our biggest show of the year. Summer of Champions. So,
Summer of Champions 4.
Yeah, unbelievable. If you can believe it. So, yeah, go to realityofwrestling.com and get your tickets for that. I think there's that bundle package is still going on. Is that
I
right?
I think there's a bundle package where you can go to the this is July 9th is the show, I believe. Do the July 9th show.
July 8th.
July 8th show. Yeah. July 9th is Great Balls of Fire in Dallas. And then
Great Balls of Bullshit is more like it. Who in marketing came up with that name?
I don't know. They should be fired. But that'll be – so July 8th is the Road to Reality Wrestling's Summer of Champions. And then, you know, like you said, August the 12th. So you can get a bundle deal on realitywrestling.com. And then 14 days after Summer of Champions 4 is Conor Floyd on pay-per-view, which we got to talk about before the fight. So I'm going to leave it there. Matt, you got your plug out of the way. Congratulations on winning.
Thank you.
Next time you're on the show, we're going to be doing movies about music.
Yeah.
This is Brad Gilmer, Show on Demand. We'll see y'all soon.